cold cut keenly, making the night impossibly clear. The fire cast Hilda's long shadow through the window onto snow so white it seemed to burn. In the quiet, standing there, hands on hips, leaning over a bowl of potatoes, she heard her own breath. She felt, too, a dull ache in wrists and knees and an unpronounceable sadness. When the noise and fire, the faraway boom and the near misses started, boys and men had gone away and come back, sometimes whole, sometimes not. Families clutching things that seemed most to matter had abandoned the ruins of their lives. The quiet boy next door stopped speaking. He still came to fling seed for Hilda's chickens, but Brunon held his head tipped forward, a thick black wave of hair covering his face. When he found words again, he stammered them out, his knuckles straining where he clutched at his shirt sleeves. One day he left to join the madness elsewhere. He had even been in Egypt. Egypt! What, Hilda often wondered as she did now at the window, was it like there? She tried to imagine what had happened to Brunon, but could not. She could, though, think of him under the sand. So different than the dark soil around their river. Did bodies turn into mummies there, in that hot, dry place? Her eyes glazed a little, went out of focus. The pyramids and camels in her mind's eye imprinted on the snow outside the window. They never moved, for they were only transplanted. Still life from the picture book of stories. And then, the snow sand flared whiter and hotter before her eyes. And then there was red. The blaze compacted into a ball, a comet, a bomb that tore through the inky sky and smashed into the earth. Where? It must be somewhere in the marshes near the river. What was it? The questions hung there in the cold air of her little kitchen, the fire at her back, her shadow stretching itself again on the snow, everything still and white-black again. Hilda did not know, and Brunod would never know, that the crash-landing comet was an airplane. And it stayed there, buried in the porous black soil that had sustained her long life and his short one, beneath the thick, unforgiving ice of the Bazura River. Overhead, the moon went around and the sun rose. The villagers wondered about the things stuck in their river, but which they could not reach. Seasons changed. Soldiers marched and died. Flies laid eggs in their eyes and mouths. War ended. Revolutions came and went. Marx was put to the test. People fled the petty but severe conflicts of the old world, and the new power America gave the world television and personal computers. Plastic mushroomed over the earth, including the black earth by the Bazura, where Hilda went to her grave. The Bazura wound its way toward Warsaw, where it joined the Vistula on its way to the Baltic as it always had. Brunon lay, nameless, where earth movers shifted sand, forced lakes and grass to happen in new housing developments on the shore of the Mediterranean. Boats of the disinherited drifted past, underneath which lay a watery eternity of nomads and rovers. There came a time, too, when summers grew warmer and the Bazura peeled itself from its banks, leaving cracks in the dry riverbed, exposing its secrets. Bicycle tires, boots, plastic bags, fishing line, carts, the skull of a dog. The hot, dry summer of 2015 revealed still more. Up the river's stem, letters surfaced on fragments of headstones. Torn up from their graves in the years Hilda saw a comet, and Brunon was interred in the sand by the Med. That summer, near where Hilda and Brunon were born, a wandering girl was on the lookout for adventure. She liked nothing more than to poke around on the dried river basin, looking for the detritus of lives lived, guessing at their mysterious origins as she liberated them from the dirt. But on this, a particularly hot day, she staggered by something rather more thrilling than her usual find of old bottles and pieces of crockery. She smelled it first. Rust and petrol. Pungent and ancient. Then she saw it. Blackened and burned out, twisted and decayed. A find always made her electric, but the sculptural curve of what could only be bones, there in the center of all that metal, made her hold her breath. Afraid somehow of contamination, of breathing this body into her own, she quickly memorized the scene and headed home. She didn't know it yet, but she had found the thing that had cut through Hilda's night sky. This was the comet that smashed through the thick ice of the Bazaura, last seen by long-dead witnesses in January 1945. This was a bomber plane dry for the first time that extreme summer of 2015. A modern-day Lazarus petrified in a sheepskin coat. He was resurrected from a watery grave marked only with the Cyrillic tomb script of his instrument panel. Downriver, the broken tombstones that once memorialized the dead now tell of the Vistula's slow death in a warming world. And here, the desiccated marshlands of its tributary make the locals wonder that things can keep burning, and that bodies can rise from their graves with pointed fingers.
We still have a chance.
Resurrection was read by Adam Christopher Marple, Assistant Professor of Directing and Director of The Earth Turns, a climate-inspired performance for COP27. This story is part of the University of Exeter's Green Futures, We Still Have a Chance, 12 stories for 12 days of COP27.